85 95 96 is the telephone number. Could you ditch Facebook? David de Kramer joins us now, Professor of Management Studies at Cambridge University. David, morning to you.
Morning.
Are you on Facebook?
No, never been.
Never been?
No.
That's quite rare. 2.5 billion people in the world are on it. I think 50% of Britain is on it, is the stat.
Exactly.
Why have you never gone on it?
Never felt the need to do it. Plus, it's part of my job a little bit to know what data management is about. So I'm one of these probably rare persons who don't provide their personal data so quickly.
Tell us, Bill thinks he's left. Has he?
No. No, like you said, quite rightly so, the data are still stored. So you may know that yesterday Facebook lost a court case Google, but Facebook is actually involved in similar court cases. Google just lost a court case where people wanted to be forgotten on the web, and these data companies, these platforms, they don't like you to be deleted completely, because you may say, today I don't want to be on Facebook anymore, and your profile is gone. But we just heard that it's a little bit like being addicted to drugs. Well, the first few days you may feel great, maybe after your cold turkey, and think like, I'm off it, but maybe in a few weeks you want to be on it again. So Facebook is actually taking that into account already.
Do you trust Mark Zuckerberg and the faceless people that we don't know about at Google and Facebook and Twitter and so on? Do you trust them with your information?
Well, I mean, okay, with hindsight as a benefit, most people will say no, of course. But if you look at what happened in the past, almost everyone did. It started already in Harvard in 2004 when Zuckerberg told a friend of his, look, I've got 4,000 people here and their data. He was still at Harvard then. And the friend said, hey, how come? How did you get those data? I don't know. They trust me. So we did, but of course, in hindsight, everyone will say, oh, yeah, I always knew, but we never acted upon it. So right now, it's easy to say you don't trust them. But I think, as I've written in several of my papers in the last few years, what you see quite often is that people, they trust what big celebrity CEOs, because I'm calling Zuckerberg a celebrity CEO because he's got an opinion about everything. We got a few of these CEOs, CEOs running around worldwide, so they're everywhere. And they are saying the same thing as basically Donald Trump is saying. Huh? What does he always say? I know, trust me. I know, trust me.
Never trust someone.
Zuckerberg did the same thing in 2016. He said, trust me. But I'll take care of your data.
David, you know, this conversation was probably held clearly on a smaller scale when newspapers came along, when radio news came along, when television news came along, when the internet first started. People had these conversations and concluded that, well, both sides of any argument can get involved here and both sides can do that manipulation. Doesn't it work that way?
Well, it's a recurring theme. Yes, it just gets onto a different level, and now it's digital platforms. But I think one of the bigger issues nowadays why people are so shocked is we're really talking about privacy now in terms of what I call a moral principle. So why are we also shocked about Facebook now? Because let's face it, there are many other platform companies out there who are doing exactly the same thing. Okay? So why is it Facebook? Of course, it all started with Cambridge Analytica who came to the surface, and then we found out, hey, wait a minute, our data are being used to influence our own choice, which is a big thing because I'm challenging your free will now. Huh? You think you vote for Brexit or you vote against it, but basically you're being implicitly, they try to influence you already. Well, that doesn't feel good. That's a moral principle. The second thing is you quite often you sign in. With Facebook, it's for free, but for example, with Microsoft, you pay for something. But they all use your data to make more money out of you. Well, from a moral point of view, as a customer, you don't like that either, do you? You pay, and you pay to give them your data, and they're going to make even more money on you because you gave them your data.
Yeah, but who's the mug here, David? It's us, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So why do people do that? That's a big question as well, like you said.
Because they use our emotions very often, don't they, with Facebook. Whether it's your iPhone, actually, or Facebook, or all these things. They get you hooked all the time. They've got you interested in, have I got a response? Oh, people like my things. And that sends off the endorphins. And isn't it? That's how
it
works.
Exactly. So you know the research. So, I mean, basically, what are humans? Humans are social beings. People like to be connected. So Zuckerberg has taken that as his big purpose. He always talks about building a community. He sees himself as a community builder, which he has done, more than 2 billion people worldwide. But it is also a fundamental human motive. So that's why we talk about it. It's being it's addictive. And that's why some people will say Facebook is too big to fail. Some people will say I stopped with it, but they'll go back. And there are more than 2 billion people, so...
There'll be something else that'll come along, won't it, David?
Well, Facebook will survive, that's what I'm telling you.
David, thank you so much for joining us, appreciate it. David Kramer there, Professor of Management Studies at Cambridge University. You've heard the scientific view, and pretty cynical about the motives of those behind Facebook. And key thing there, he's not been on Facebook. He doesn't have a profile. He doesn't give his stuff away. Do you? And are you regretting it now? 0800 85 95 96.